Welcome to the weekly sermon podcast for Resurrection Lutheran Church in Lebanon, Ohio. We will be frequently posting sermons from our Sunday services to offer insights and interpretations of Scripture and to help you connect biblical teachings to your daily life and circumstances. You may also watch our entire worship service online on Facebook or YouTube. This podcast was recorded on Maundy, Thursday, April 17, 2025. Our guest preacher is Pastor Craig Foreman.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 13th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Before the festival of the Passover, Jesus knew his hour had come to depart from this world and return to his Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. Now the devil had already put into the heart of Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray him. And during supper, Jesus, knowing the Father had given all things into his hand, and that he had come from God and was turning to God, got up from the table, took off his robe, tied a towel around his waist, poured water into a basin, and began to wash the feet of his friends and wipe them with a towel. When he came to Simon Peter, Peter asked him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus answered, "You do not understand now what I am doing, but later you will." Peter said to him, "You will never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, Peter, you can have no share with me." And Peter said to him, "Then, Lord, wash not only my feet, but my hands and my head as well." Jesus then said to them, "Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am with you only a little longer. You will look for me. As I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. So I give you a new commandment. Love one another, just as I have loved you. By this the world will know that you are my disciples, that you have love for one another. This is the gospel of the Lord." The sermon comes early on Maundy, Thursday, so that's why I'm up here early. I have this memory as a young child. Young enough to crawl into the pews and chase down crayons and bugs, but old enough to stand on the seat next to my father when they were singing the hymns from the old red service book and hymnal. Some of you go back to those days. I remember tonight was the occasion of my first faith crisis. I was 4. I know. I mean, how big of a faith crisis can you have when you're 4? Well, I'm going to tell you tonight. It derived from my ardent desire to see Jesus. To know him, really. To touch the robe around his waist. To touch his hands. To see the sandals on his feet. It seemed to me at the time that everybody else in church must see him on a regular basis. And I alone could not find him anywhere. I felt this way because as I stood on the pew and watched all these Dark County farmers all around me singing their hymns, they seemed content and confident and unconcerned by life. And I was always a serious child. Everything bothered me. I can tell you what was going on the news in those days, just like I still can. So this realization came upon me one day in church like a summer thunderstorm. I was doing my best to stay awake during the mumbling monotone of the Right Reverend Ridenour, who was preaching, and I actually heard something he said. And that was unusual because he had a high, reedy, thin voice that could put you to sleep in a heartbeat. He said, and I quote, "And you are the witnesses of these things." And even back then, I watched Perry Mason every afternoon with my mother, and I knew what a witness was. So I remember there must be some kind of special person to whom he was referring who could actually see Jesus, because I was not one of those. I looked at my parents beside me in a pew, my dad on my left, my mom on my right. They seemed completely at ease with what he had said. I figured they must be part of that "we can see Jesus" crowd. I took a quick glance at the faces around me. They all seemed, other than being a gaggle of sleepy-eyed farmers, not the least bit shocked by the Reverend's assertion. Only my own little self seemed worried. So I figured out they also must be part of the "We Can See Jesus" crowd, and that began my faith crisis, because I could not find Jesus in that church. I looked for him in the stained glass windows. That did not cut it. No pun intended. Nor did Jesus, was Jesus on the wall of my Sunday school that was adorned with the Cocker Spaniel, Jesus we called him, Solomon's Head of Christ. It was not to be found in the picture of Jesus in the kids' Bible that my Uncle Joe had given me the previous Easter before. And yet I knew he must be somewhere in that church. I just did not know where. I even dropped to the floor and looked around at the sea of white socks that I could see ahead of me until my father reached down and grabbed me by the scruff of the neck and pulled me back up and sat me down in the pew with a thud. All I got for the effort was my father making me sit still and pinching me because I was being that kind of a kid. Apparently, he did not appreciate a good faith crisis when he saw one. I figured he also was part of the We Can See Jesus crowd. I tried to remember a time and place when I might have caught a glimpse of him, but nothing was coming to mind. He had to be somewhere because everyone in that place but me seems to have seen him, and why would he only hide from me? So that began my personal quest to find Jesus. And I had an in because my grandfather, Ray, was the church sexton. He and my grandmother, every Saturday night, and we would always stay the Saturday night with them before going to church the next morning, they would go over to clean the place. So I had access to places that most kids never could get into. I could go into the boiler room. I could get into the bell tower. I could sneak into closets that nobody else could find. And I did that every chance I got. But guess what? I never found Jesus. One Sunday, I was sitting there in the pew, and I heard the Reverend Reithauer singing, and I told you he had this reed thin voice that was annoying to listen to, but boy, he had a good tenor voice, and I thought, well, maybe Jesus was in the altar singing for him, kind of liturgical karaoke, kind of Milli Vanilli-ing it for him. So when the service was over, my mom and dad were greeting at the door, and I snuck away and opened up the doors of that big coffin-like altar, and all that was in there was a broken chair, a Bible, and a bunch of dust bunnies, a couple of dead bugs. There was no Jesus. I figured Jesus was avoiding me, or there was some sacred room I hadn't been in yet that he must be hiding in. He wasn't in the pastor's study. I'll tell you why I can know that. The pastor would get done with his sermon, and while we were singing the hymn, he'd go out. His study was behind. He opened the door to his study, and that opened a door to the outside, a porch that overhang the parking lot, and he would smoke a cigarette. Right there in front of God and everybody. So I knew Jesus was not hiding in his office. I knew that. I tried the choir room. That room smelled like body odor and I don't know. Even the church choir wouldn't go in that room for long, so he wasn't in there. So it had to be some other room that I was missing that I'd never been in. Then it hit me. The women's restroom. Back in those days, little boys did not go to the women's restroom. We went to the men's restroom and suffered along with all the rest of the men. The place that smelled like urine and bleach, that's where we went to go to the bathroom. It was only marginally cleaner than the Shell station at the edge of town. When I got into there, it was like, I can imagine how Howard Carter felt when he opened King Tut's tomb. There was flocked wallpaper and ceramic bowls with lavender-scented soaps. There were pictures on the wall, for heaven's sake, and the toilets were clean. But Jesus was not there. And so I felt defeated, and I realized I was not, and maybe never would be, part of the We Have Seen Jesus crowd. But the next time we gathered, we celebrated Holy Communion. And back in those days, Holy Communion was done 5 times a year. Quarterly, it's like a bath. You know, you took it whether you needed it or not. And on Maundy Thursday. And it was Maundy Thursday. And in those days, the farmers turned out in droves because they wanted to take communion. So the place was packed. Reverend Reidenauer, robed in black and white, lifted a tray of styrofoam discs and mumbled, "This is my body." And then a large silver cup mumbled, "This is my blood." And all the people, including my dad, went down in a single file. They went down and they would kneel before the pastor and he would feed them like he was feeding a baby, putting his tiny little white disc wafer on the tongue and giving them a little glass to sip from. And my dad stood up and came back to the pew and he seemed different. He smelled different. I leaned in close to sniff because there was a cloud of sweetness on his breath. And he turned and he looked me right in the face about this close to me. And he said, "What are you doing?" I said, "What's that smell?" He said, "What? That smell. What is that smell?" He said, "It's what I drank." But what is it? I said, what's inside of you? And that's when he gave me the good Lutheran answer as he flipped through his hymnal to the next hymn, and he said, it's Jesus. And he began to sing a hymn with about 15 verses, which gave me lots of time to think about what he had said. I stood there with my hand on his shoulder. He looked at my grinning face. He tousled my hair with his right hand. I was grinning because I realized I'd finally found Jesus. He was never hiding at all. He was always right there in that gathered group of dark county farmers who broke bread and drank wine and witnessed to his presence and his love. And on that night, the night he commanded us to love one another, the night of his betrayal, the night we call Maundy Thursday, it was revealed to my little four-year-old brain and written on my four-year-old heart that Jesus was present in the bread and the wine, truly, honestly, really present. And he said, remember me when you do this, because when you do, I will be there and you will find me. There is so much in this world that wants to hide Jesus from us. It's a terrible time that we live in. And even in the church, we ministers sometimes get all caught up in the muck and the mire of things. We allow the holiness of Christ to get hidden because we are focusing on the wrong things at the altar. Not unimportant things, just the wrong things. And so it is only on the rarest of occasions that anything strikes our hearts and our minds in such a way as to reveal Jesus to us. Except for the fact that Jesus has called us to reveal him to others through our love for one another. We are called to reveal Jesus to the world by our love for other people, not in this parish. The world is searching for him now more than ever, dear friends, searching with the same passion and longing and hope as a four-year-old boy once searched the dusty corners of Trinity Lutheran Church in Pittsburgh, Ohio. This world is looking for Jesus. And on this night, as we begin the great 3 days, it's my hope that we will find him here at this altar. Revealed in the gathered body of believers, revealed in the sacrament of his blood and his body, revealed in the people who are called by his name, Christians, that we will find Jesus. Not that Jesus has cut down to a 15-minute sermon or depicted in a stained glass window, but the Jesus who sat with his friends on the night in which he was betrayed with wine on his breath and sorrow in his heart and spoke to them about leaving using words that even a four-year-old boy could understand. We are believers. It's why we're here in the middle of this crazy week. In the midst of these troubling times, we are believers. Or maybe I should say we're believers with our fingers crossed. Because believing things about Jesus is not the same thing as finding Jesus. Finding him is a matter of giving your heart to him, come hell or high water. Finding him is about putting your money on him, betting on him, betting your life on him. Finding him is wanting to be next to him the same way a four-year-old boy wants to be next to his father, to be overwhelmed by his love, to have his hair tousled in loving familiarity by someone he knows and trusts. On the night in which he was betrayed, dear friends, that's when he said to his friends, where I'm going, you cannot follow. And I know how they felt. You know how they felt. They'd been looking for the Messiah all their lives. They thought they'd finally found him, but on the night they celebrated the Passover, Jesus told them he was leaving them. It broke their hearts, but he left them with a promise. He said, whenever the bread is broken, whenever the wine is poured, whenever you gather at this meal to remember me, I will be there truly present. I will be there, and you will find me. My father died 16 years ago, just about this day. And for a year or so after his death, I'd call our home whenever my mother was not there, so I could hear his voice on the answering machine. Hello, you've reached the Foreman residence. We can't come to the phone right now, but if you leave a message at the sound of the tone, I'll get back with you as soon as I can. I knew it was just an echo, but to hear that voice, to hear that promise, I'll get back with you as soon as I can, it helped me to endure my grief. The answering machine wore out. So did my need to hear his voice. But I tell you, I long for the day I can hear it again. And I know that day is coming sure and certain because the Jesus I looked for since I was 4 promised it. And whenever we gather in his name, we find him anew. We find him in the bread and in the wine. We're reminded, we are comforted. The last thing he ever said to us, the last thing he ever asked us to do, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another, because it is by this that the world will know you are my disciples. By believing and by loving against all the odds, we, all of us in this room, are part of the We Have Seen Jesus crowd. Because he comes to us in the bread and the wine. He comes to us in the spoken word. He comes to us in the promises he makes. And we will find him. To God be the glory.
Thank you for tuning into the Resurrection Lutheran Church Weekly Sermon Podcast. If you would like to know more about our congregation, visit us at rlc-lebanon.org. Resurrection Lutheran Church is a church of the ELCA, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. We are located in Lebanon, Ohio, and have 2 Sunday worship services at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our mission is to reach people with the love of Jesus Christ. All people, regardless of age, race, socioeconomic status, gender identity, sexual orientation, or cultural background, are welcome at RLC.